Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Blue Room post-match for Leeds United 1, Everton 1. Quite similar to the Brentford game at the weekend, I think a little bit frustrating, but one of those games where you think you probably could have won, you drew, but we probably could have lost as well. I'm joined tonight by Dave Downey to pick the bones out of that one. Dave, we said at the weekend after Brentford, it was hard to feel too despondent, even though a lot of people seem to be flapping it on Twitter. How do you feel after that tonight?
Interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, it was me and you that did the post match after that Brentford draw, and I thought it was quite funny, really. The various opinions that we got thrown our way. Like, I had a few people saying to me, "I think you're spot on there," saying that it was relatively positive, and we you know, potentially could have won the game ourselves, and I thought we played well enough and whatnot. And then I had loads of other people slating us, saying that was appalling. We were really lucky to get a point. I think if I said this was really lucky that we got a point tonight, I think I'd be getting pelters from a lot of people, because I thought Everton, I would go as far as saying this is our best performance so far this season. And I think if you aren't of that opinion right now, I think you simply need to get in your mind that you've gone to one of the most difficult aways in the league. I know people say, oh, well, Leeds nearly got relegated themselves last season. Yes, they did. But that was with a new manager, but they are a notoriously difficult place. Elland Road's such a difficult place to go to normally, because everyone, including players and manager, are in your face as soon as you kick off. And to be fair, they absolutely battered Chelsea the other week, or 10 days ago, battered them 3-0. For Everton to stand up and decided to physically match them, I thought it was a huge positive for Frank Lampard. Look, is this the second time we've gone 1-0 up, isn't it, in our last two games and not won the game? Yes, there's a negativity to that, but I genuinely thought we should have taken all 3 points tonight. I think the elephant in the room, obviously, is Patterson's chance with 10 to go, and I think he did superbly well to get up there. He was magnificent tonight. He got man of the match on BT. I thought that's probably about right. I thought Onana was brilliant as well in central field. I said to you just before we started as well, and I know he's one of our favourite players, everyone's favourite players at the moment, but that was the first time I've watched the Wobie and thought, oh, that wasn't one of your best nights, that, Alex. And I'm just sporadically just going into team. Players one by one here, Les, but I think overall, mate, I thought that we were good enough for 3 points tonight, and that was much more positive performance from us. And I thought, you know, we slotted a pretty comfortable, easy chance for Patterson. We walk away with 3 points there, and the fact that we haven't makes me feel a little bit sour. But performance wise, it was a big step up the ladder for us, I thought, tonight.
Yeah, I think with Iwobi, just quickly on him, I think we're going to get a lot of performances like that from him, where he's not not particularly bad, but he doesn't really do anything outstanding.
A bit tired, do you think, as well, Les?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Big physical game.
He's done a hell of a lot of running.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just think his job there is to pretty much keep that midfield ticking over, which he did. He did for large parts. I think one of the big things for me going in tonight was seeing the formation and the fact that he's gone 4-3-3. Now, we said at the weekend he probably should have switched it up towards the end of the game to go more attacking against Brentford. So I think the fact that Mason Holgate's out and the fact that, we'll come on to this probably a bit later, but the fact he didn't make any substitutions, the fact that he's changed his formation kind of tells you that Michael Keane's not got a place in this side. The lack of substitutions kind of tells you that Allen's not got a place in this side. Rondon's not got a place in this side, even as players to come on and replace tired legs. Because I thought that was really odd that he didn't make the substitution. But on the formation first, are you happy with us playing like that? I am. I don't like the five at the back. I've said it all the time. And I just think tonight, we created quite a few good chances. And playing the three in midfield, I think you get more out of Onana like we did tonight. And it does. There's more scope for getting the ball forward and creating chances. That's my view on it. What do you reckon on it?
Yeah, I completely agree on the defensive side of things. Look, I thought three out of the four of them were brilliant tonight. I think this myth that I think it's probably had the Wolves manager since he was there for Cody. Got their heads going, spinning all around the place, thinking that he couldn't play in a back four, because tonight I thought he was really comfortable alongside.
Yeah, he looked good, didn't he?
This looked just like bread and butter to me, watching those two at centre back. I wasn't sitting there looking at it thinking, oh, Cody's any comfortable at the back when he's got someone else alongside them. There were less of those diagonals. I think we played a lot deeper, which obviously should make it bread and butter for centre-backs who are any good. But it looked comfortable, more importantly to me, that Les. Every time I watched them, I thought they defended really well. The equaliser we receive, I'm screaming. I looked at Mikhailenko and I thought he looked the real weak link for us tonight.
Yeah.
And I've no idea. It's almost similar, and I hate to say this, but it's almost similar to that game Liverpool when he played away at United, that Van Dijk was getting pelters from James Milner, wasn't he, when he didn't come out and tackle. He didn't put out and throw himself at Sancho when he scored the opening goal. I looked at that, and then who was it that scored that? Tyler Adams, was it?
No, I
can't remember. Who was it who scored?
Oh, it was Sinisterra.
No idea who he is. Anyway, when this punter scored, I'm looking at Mikhailenko when it shows you it from the end of the pitch, zoomed in, and I think Pickford's he is flat footed, but he's probably thinking that's getting put in his bottom right corner, and that's why he's gone that way.
Yeah,
but that ball shouldn't be getting near the goal. It should have been a shot on target, because Mikhailenko needs to throw himself at that, absolutely throw himself at it, and stop that from happening. So, look, I think a few people might say I'm being a bit harsh there, but I don't think I am. I think that was basic defensive error, that. And sadly, it's been too, because he was sort of, well, half responsible for the goal we conceded to Brentford, wasn't it? He was playing them all onside if he'd have stepped out.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah,
it's a lad. So, I mean, I'm not going to go and start blaming that lad, because, it's a difficult one to blame. Yes, if I'm not ever thinking about what's going on in his own personal life and what's going on in his country and whatnot, then I'd be probably giving him pelters myself right now. But I'm not. I don't feel comfortable saying that. But yes, he was down to or part responsible at least for the two goals we've conceded. The other three, though, Les, the other three, massive. Congratulations to the three of them, because that was the best Everton defensive performance I've felt from, well, at least three of the back four. Unlucky to concede, had Mikhailenko jumped out, they wouldn't have scored in the game, and we'd have taken 3 points into the derby at the weekend, which is huge. But yeah, I completely agree with what you said there about Tarkowski and Cody. They look to me a solid pair of centre backs that are comfortably ahead of Mina whenever he's back, Holgate whenever he's back, and Michael Keane. I think it's pretty obvious that he's probably, when they're all fit, he would be the fifth choice of the five centre backs that we've got. So there's a positivity there because we've seen the decent performances from the centre backs, and that's the best one so far. So look, I know we're five games in, I know we haven't won a game. Plus line is that we're out of the bottom three until tomorrow night at least. So look, if you want to concentrate on things getting better, those tiny things, which is sad enough to talk about, they're the things that we're gradually starting to grow into. But that was our most positive performance out of the five, I think, today.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Hopefully that puts the back five thing to bed, although I wouldn't be surprised. Oh no, I suppose he's not going to play Mason Holgate. I'm going to say I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to it against Liverpool, but if Holgate's there, it looks like he's not got the appetite for it. So hopefully that'll put it to bed. And just on Mikalenko, I suppose those two goals we conceded there, it shows the margins we're playing at. That the lad, he switches off twice and we concede twice.
It's,
you know, when we are playing like to the fine margins that we are, that's all it takes. And that's why your players have got to concentrate all game. As you say, I think Pickford probably should have done better, but he just committed himself one way, which, you know, it's a mistake on his part. It was a terrible goal to concede. But we'll go up the other end of the pitch now and look at our goal that we did score, which again, it was just like at the weekend, the one Gordon scored. It was just another fantastic run into the box. Great touch and a great finish. Think Iwobi, the ball from McNeil to Iwobi's good. The ball from Iwobi to Gordon's great, even though it gets a little bit of a gets held up by the Leeds player, doesn't really realise what he's doing. But the touch and finish from Gordon again is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's such a confident finish as well. I think it's the first time I've looked at him, certainly tonight, and thought, oh, he loves a bit of piss taking here. He loves a bit of winding up. Seeing him having going head to head with that fucking clown that they've got it right back.
Yeah, and throwing the ball away and stuff like that.
Christensen, whatever, he just looked like a bulldog to me. Yeah. Didn't look any good as a football either. But the point where he just, I think we nearly get a goal, don't we, in that half as well, where he spins past there right back.
Yeah.
Just leaves him for dead, sprints down into the 18-yard box and squares it across. I also think as well, just I don't want to keep digging Mikalenko out, but just before we carry on with Gordon, there's a point where Mikalenko gets the ball and there's a simple pass right into the middle of the pitch where someone's sprinting towards, I don't know if it's Gray or whoever else on the right-hand side, sprinting into the 18-yard box. And I'm thinking, you slide him in and there's a second goal right there. Probably kills the game off. But, you know,
that's just on that quick game. That's the worst part of Mikalenko's game for me. He's very reluctant to play a forward ball.
Yeah.
But a fullback, who you think their instinct would be to kind of get down the line and get the cross in, he'll always seem to turn back and play it backwards, which I think he's got to get out of his game.
I think, yeah, he does. He's very percentage-like fullback, isn't he? Where, oh, you know, what's the easiest thing that I need to do for us to keep the ball?
Yeah.
Where obviously the better players in world football are the ones that square it and play that inch perfect pass for you to score a goal. Yeah, I think more of that comes. And I think it will come. I think he's still a developing defender, certainly in the Premier League as well. Haven't been here, 8 months?
Mm-hmm. I'd say he's still a young lad as well, isn't he?
Sorry?
He's still a young lad as well.
Yeah, exactly. But going back to Gordon, that's the first time I've watched him, and I'm sure other people will have said they've noticed this a lot earlier than I have. But I've been reluctant to give him the hype that I've seen many talk about, especially since this connection with the Chelsea potential bid and whatnot. Maybe he leaves the club in the next 48 hours. Still remains to be seen. But I've never looked at him and thought, oh, I like a properly like that. I know he's a talent. We know he's got potential. They're the things that I think are just bog standard that everyone could talk about. But I think it's the personal feeling you have towards a player that either connects with you or it doesn't as a fan. And tonight's probably the first time where I've looked at him and thought, you know, he gets it. He receives the ball and he seems to have that much confidence that he wants to rip the first person that comes near him. And to be fair to him, he does it a hell of a lot.
Yeah,
takes his goal magnificently well, slots it between the keeper's legs. And then I looked at him, the celebration as well, with putting his fingers in his ears and stuff. I'm not too sure what that's about, whether it's I need the fans to stop banging on about me maybe leaving the club, or, you know, I just want to prove to people that I am as good enough to go for a £90 million fee. You know, again, it's quite sad, and it's probably an indictment to where the club is right now, that we're still waiting to find out what happens in 48 hours. Me and you couldn't sit here, we'd probably give a certain percentage on what we think, whether he stays or whether he leaves. You know, I think right now, given the lack of time left, I'm guessing that he probably stays.
If he leaves now, it's a disaster.
Well, it is. The thing is, Les, it comes twofold to me that you're saying it's a disaster. By and large, I agree. And I agree by the fact that if he was to leave, we can almost certainly be sat here in 48 hours saying that this squad is so light and we haven't completed the signings that we needed to complete. And that's the main problem, I think. Now, I still think, I don't know whether you agree or disagree with this, but I still think that's a massive issue, even if he stays, that we're still going to have massive issues because we will not have completed what we needed to do for the last 2 months. Because I think that, by and large, I think everybody was saying it to me on social just before we started this, that bench was actually vile to look at. When you think of, you know, if you didn't know who those players were or who this club is, you see an Everton starting 11 versus that bench, I'd be astonished if anyone thought that they belonged at the same football club. Look at who was on there.
For anyone who doesn't know who was on the bench, and this, you know, people have said Lampard sending a message to the board. If he is, that is a huge gamble to take when you're 1-0 with 20 minutes to go, your players are dead on the feet, and you don't turn to anyone on the bench. But then when you look at the bench, Keane, Alan, Begovic, Andre Gomez, Coleman, Vinegar, Rondon, Mills, Welch.
Yeah.
What's to play with, isn't
it? There's it all. What, four games, nearly five games into a season? Well, six games, even include the Carabao. You're that short into a season and you're still playing on the bench with three lads there who've barely kicked a ball for us at all at first team level. That should show that. I mean, that if you're, I don't know if you know if he's asked watching it, Machiri these days, but you know, if you were to deliver a message to him, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? When I think you'll still see people saying, why hasn't he not made the change? That's not good from Lampard, not to make a change. Well, firstly, it shows that he's got a massive set of balls not doing that, like you've said. But also, I looked at that squad and I'm sitting here now thinking, yeah, normally on this post-match, it's the type of thing we'll be at the top of the arguments that we maybe have is about what changes he should have made. And I think we're both sat here in agreement that can you blame him for not putting any of those players on from the bench that either A, he can't yet trust with the young lads, even though we'd love to see them involved now and again, and when he can get on off the bench, maybe when we're winning games, you know, heaven forbid shortly, or, you know, do we look at and think, well, the rest of them, Gomez needs to go, Alan needs to go, what else are you looking at on? It was Rondon on the bench, was it?
Rondon was on the bench, yeah.
I can see why that never happened as well, because he doesn't even look like he's fit enough to play football. So, yeah, I mean, I'm firmly in the camp of I agree. Not to say I agree with him not making a sub, because I think, I don't know if you... I think he sat there after 70 thinking, what do we do here? And he's probably looked to Ashley Cole and Paul Clement and thought, lads, I'm stuck for something here because it's quite obvious we need to get players on because half of these are flagging. Looked at a Wolby, was flagging, Davis was flagging, Gray.
Couple of players on yellow cards as well.
Yeah, exactly. McNeil, you know, it was the first time I looked at that team and I thought, you know what? Probably could make five subs here if we had five subs to make.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? He's been vindicated because we drew and he, to a degree, got away with it. But it was a massive gamble to take. The easy swap would have been Alan for Davis, I think.
I think that shows you blatantly obvious, though. We don't want him involved anymore, do we?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I don't like that, though. You know, when a manager kind of like, I think, you know, if they've fallen out, I don't like it when a manager puts that ahead of what's best for the team.
Cuts his nose, bites his face type of thing.
Yeah, you know, as I said, he's got away with it there tonight because we did get the point and we did create chances right up to the end of the game, basically. So the team has done its part there, but I just think it's too much of a gamble. And, you know, it kind of, if you have got the players there who can play in the positions you need them to, you've got to be using them. But anyway, he did get away with it. Another player who I want to pick up on, because he had a very frustrating performance, and it's like, it's pretty typical of him, because he has one good game, one shit game, and it's Damari Gray. He had a couple of nice touches, but was largely anonymous, and then he scored that goal that was weirdly flagged offside. My theory with this is, because people have been sort of comparing it to the Marcus Rashford one against Liverpool, because it's very, very similar. My theory is, I think because the linesman gave it as offside, it wasn't a clear and obvious error.
With the Gray goal?
Yeah, I think because the linesman's flagged, they said, okay, it's offside. You've looked at the VAR and gone, yeah, I can see why he's given that offside. Like, I think with the Man United point, didn't get flagged, did he?
No, he didn't get flagged.
He looked at the VAR and went, that wasn't a clear and obvious error. Let's play him onside. It's stupid. And it just smacks of double standards. And you know, and just makes a mockery of the whole thing. But that's the only reason I can think of. Because the linesman flagged, he'd give the linesman the benefit of the doubt and said, okay, his decision was fair enough. Which is just dead shit, isn't it? Because by the same token, they're saying, well, those marginal decisions, they're going to go in the favour of the attacker this season. And they've just, like, dropped that. It's a mess again, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying in the fact that if we score and they immediately go, if he does flag it offside, and then it makes it the decision for the VAR, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But when that goes straight to VAR, and he hasn't flagged it. Oh, sorry, I think that they could give us the benefit of the doubt there. Do you know what I mean?
I think they did.
I know. Well, it's a lot of my mates messaged me straight away saying that looked like a carbon copy of what Rashford did to them for United, where it's just too much of a fine line not to give the benefit of the doubt like they are supposed to the goal scorer.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're talking about shoulders and bloody colours of kits and all that crap, you know, that is when you're looking at it thinking, this is why this is shite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that should have gone in our way, that. And then, you know, I think we banged on about it a little bit at the start of this pod, didn't we? But the Patterson one, I think he'll go home having kittens tonight, that lad.
Yeah.
Despite the fact he was man of the match. He deserves to score the goal in many ways, and he'll be like, when I'm what 10 yards outside the box, if I just shoot that across the keeper, he's not getting anywhere near it. It's a goal. I think I wouldn't go as far as being as negative towards him and say there was a panic, but he's just thought, hand in heart, I'm going to belt this as hard as I can. And it so happens goes towards the keeper. It's not people saying, oh, it's a wonderful save. Not a wonderful save. It's hit Adam. This is like goes back to the Tim Howard debate in the World Cup in 2014, doesn't it?
16 saves.
Yeah, we've made a few hundred saves. You've been hit. McCaffrey's basically hit the ball at you for 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was so devastated. I mean, I was having kittens myself when he misses that. And then I sort of thought, we do this often, don't we, Les? Would you message me saying, Bamford's got a winner written all over him because we've missed a chance like that and stuff. Yeah. Thankfully, it didn't go that way. I think Pickford makes a nice little save as well towards the end, and they have a shot.
I think he could save that, actually. He didn't know much about it, but he just did enough to, you know, to keep it out.
Well, I was going to say, but getting it away from one of them, following up, because as soon as that happens, I generally look straight away thinking, yeah, someone's going to follow that up and slot it in.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I have to give massive congratulations. I don't want to sound so hypocritical and maybe a little bit too, I don't know, trying to make them feel a little bit happier than they are about themselves. But I look at the way a lot of those players defensively we've played decided to go with the deep back four. The players in front of them, I thought, oh, Nana, that was the best game we've had from him as well. I mean, he was kicked a lot again.
Yeah.
And I think he rose to the challenge. He gets his foot to the ball at some times, and I think, how can he even possibly do that? Because he's such a big boy. But, you know, I was looking at, did I see the sort of green shoots of, like, say, if we go midfield three again, if we're playing four at the back and go general 4-3-3, do I look at that and I see something between Iwobi, Onana and Davis? I don't know if I can go that far to critically or emphatically say that that is what we should be doing. I can see the merit in it, though, particularly against a side like this, where you've got three combative midfielders who are able to throw themselves about, who are able to have got the pace and the physicality to get about against a midfield that love to get involved, love to kick people, love to dominate. I looked tonight and I saw an aspect of that which does make me feel positive about it. Who we put in there and make the demand of the three. So I guess the question would be, Onana's automatically in there, but then you look at, is Davis constantly going to be in there in that midfield three? Is Iwobi, is that where you actively want him all the time? I think a lot of people would say, yeah, to be a high percentage of the fans who say, yeah, I want him in the midfield rather than putting out work, because he's been that good for us and on an attacking threat as well. He can play in various roles. There's a versatility to how good the Wolves been doing for us this season and towards, obviously, the back end of last season. And then I look and think, when Decore's fit, do you go Decore, a Wolby, Onana? And I'm thinking, that's a gang of big boys. That's three lads. But then, where's the balance of it? Do you make sure Onana sticks in front of the back four? Who goes in as your DM? If Idrissa Gueye ends up coming, which loads of people are saying he's on his way and he's waiting in the taxi outside Goodison now, if he comes back in, there are a lot of big questions for Lampard. But I think from what you said at the start there about not being a fan of the back five, I think if Idrissa Gueye does end up coming back, Decore comes in a bit, you're talking about four midfielders there that you take three off in order to not use a back five. Yeah. Which, you know, I think is quite the positivity for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, actually. I think, especially if Garner comes in, I think that's your midfield three then. I think it's Garner, Onana and Iwobi for me. I just think Iwobi looks really good in that position. As we said, he didn't have his best game tonight, but I just think, as I said before, he keeps things ticking over in the middle there. And I think just from a team performance thing tonight was we had the Elland Road crowd on our back, and you know, you said it's a tough place to go. It's a tough place to go for Everton. We very, very rarely get anything down there. So, you know, to come away with a point tonight, a real sort of, I'm not going to say back to the wall performance, because it was better than that. I just think it was actually a really good away performance. It's the sort of performance that, you know, teams will come to Goodison and frustrate us with. I just think it was a good performance, and there was a lot of sort of go into the next two games, not with confidence because it's Liverpool at home and Arsenal away, but again, don't feel too down about the fact that, you know, we're only on 3 points so far this season, I think, because there's a lot of mitigating circumstances that, you know, the manager's clearly not had the players he wants to play with. We've had no one up front, you know, I don't know whether to blame the board, the Premier League, but probably both for this, the fact that Mopé couldn't play tonight because of the bloody bank holiday. It's just, that's pretty pathetic for me. He should be playing tonight. That should have been sorted well in time for that to happen. But he's just in the next couple of days. If we get, you know, the players we need in the transfer window, which is debatable whether we will, I think there's enough there to build on. And we have been actually, you know, there's only one game we've not scored in, which, if you'd have said that to me at the start of the season when we've not got a striker on the pitch that we'd scored in all our games, I'd have probably taken that. Just looking at Leeds, is there a more annoying manager in the league than Jesse Marsh? Not only for the fact that he wears jeans on the touchline, but that point to his watch was just...
It's cheesy as it gets, isn't it? I know. I think I'm not speaking for them, but I think there'll be many Leeds fans who'll be like, yeah, can't really stand this lad for much longer. At some point, they'll say that, even though they've started well. When he's just, oh, mate, it just looks like proper NFL, bloody, I don't know, NBA manager type of shit that he's doing. He's screaming all the way down. When there was a scrap on the touchline as well, he was trying to get involved in that. And, like, I don't know, it just looks so, so cheesy to me. I mean, fair play for the fella taking that job. But I think if he'd have known as much about everyone else in England knows about Leeds, then he wouldn't have gone near taking the Leeds job. No, because I know so many of their fans will be like, what are you doing, mate? How are you our manager? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But fair play to them. He's done well. You know, the lad they've got, we kept him quiet tonight. What's his name? Anderson, is it? Or Andros?
Yeah, Anderson.
Yeah, he's been good, so he? Far this season. We did well to keep him quiet today, I thought. He was hard to watch. It was really entertaining. And look, I'm not pushing towards American soccer players or managers, by the way. I just, in terms of being an opposition manager against us today, I was like really, really irritated by him.
He's a bit of a caricature, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a little bit. And it's like, you know, I honestly have no problem at all because I've started watching the MLS a lot, really, and it's grown a lot as well. So fair play to him for actually being offered the job and taking the job and doing the job well, kept them up. You know, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, really. But yeah, the cheese side of it is something that, like, I can't put up with too long.
It was a bit too theatrical, wasn't it?
I just really hope I'm not insulting Rob Vera, by the way, which I'm sure I'll find out because he often listens and comes on the post-match, and he's doing the remainder of the transfer window as well up till Thursday night. So I hope I'm not insulting him and any other Everton USA fans because we love the bones of them and it's great to see them and getting them involved and all that. We're not insulting them, just the one who...
He's just a dead annoying fella. That's all there is.
I'll give you 10 a penny of the ones that are even from Merseyside, they're just dead annoying fellas as well. the one that manages Aston Villa that we played, one of them.
What's that?
The one that manages Aston Villa is one of them.
Oh, Christ. Jesus. Yeah, he's the worst of them. But yeah, there's no place for Denim on a touchline. One more thing about the performance tonight was Leeds and getting stuck into us. The crowd were getting behind them and getting a bit gnarly. When there were a few flashpoints, Cody and Tarkowski were flying in and breaking it up and getting involved, which was lovely to see because it's one of those things we've said over the past few years, isn't it? You know, there's not enough players who are prepared to sort of get stuck in and back the teammates up and, you know, get into the aggro. And the two of them looked well up for it, didn't they, tonight? And I think, you know, if we get Mopey in the squad, there's quite a few little knocks in there, which can't be a bad thing for us, for me.
Oh, no, I mean, as long as they're not walking a tightrope like Dave was after that stupid thing he did. He didn't deserve a yellow card for it whatsoever. But when people are saying that to me, like, that wasn't a yellow, that shouldn't have been a yellow. I'm like, well, if he just didn't do it, he wouldn't have got a yellow.
It was stupid, wasn't it?
I just thought it was really silly from a lad who should know better. But thankfully, it didn't cost him. Although I did look at him at times thinking, yeah, he probably would have thrown his foot in there and he couldn't because he'd go.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think us making us physically bigger, intimidating players. Like I said about Onana, he's such an athlete, that lad, I think. And he gets kicked and he gets up and he carries on. And I like that.
Yeah.
But Gordon having getting it like head to head with that Muppet that they had at right back. And Tarkowski sprinted out from our own byline, just went right, just pushed him away, and just properly got involved. In Cody's that type of lad as well. I know he ended up over there after that, but Tarkowski to just put his head down and sprint and say, "Come ahead, let's have it." That's fantastic to see. And like you say, I think that's traditional Everton to me. Look, I don't want us being idiots. Like the thing that just described there with Davis, I don't want us being stupid and throwing into needless battles where we're getting yellows for no reason whatsoever for taking our heads or, you know, someone being losing the plot or whatnot. But I want us to properly stand up for ourselves. Yeah. And I think we saw that at the top Premier League ground, which is notoriously made its living for doing that very thing. And we matched it tonight. So yeah, I was really happy with that.
And again, that's something we need to take into the weekend's game. We won't dwell too much on that because we'll be doing a lot of talking about it in the week. But
well, there's where you've got to do it sensibly, Les, for this weekend. You know, you can't just let it boil over. Well, you can let it boil over to an extent because you I think referees these days, and dare to say it, are a little bit more intelligent when they see Merseyside derbies, Manchester derbies and whatnot. You know, they won't just throw a yellow or a red immediately because things have boiled over. They just basically, as quick as they can, try and calm everything down and just keep the way within that it's a derby. Things like this will happen where they won't in other games. Yeah. If you have a referee that does that this weekend, then great. Yeah, I'm all for them. You saw today, I think a perfect example from Tarkovsky coming out and doing that was nowhere near him being punished with a card or even a talking to. It was the referee basically saying, calm down, just everyone calm down, can you? And he did. And it was just a sensible approach of keeping the back of his own teammates. That's exactly what you've got to do in a Merseyside derby. Otherwise, you start looking at silly red cards and silly yellows.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a referee who sort of performed like the two referees have in our last two games. I thought they've been decent. I think they've let the play flow on. They haven't been mad with the cards. There's been some tackles that last season probably would have been fouls, not this season. I think they've done really well in the last two games. I think the games have been noticeably better for it.
Correct. And there'd be no bias as well. You know, again, that game at Leeds, it's such an easier night for a referee if they give them the benefit of the doubt on most 50-50s, on most tackles. Oh, that's a bad foul. It's a Leeds free kick, rather than giving anything. I think you'll see if there'll be somebody with the stats out there, won't he show them what? Like that old myth about, well, say myth, the thing that happened at Old Trafford when Ferguson was there, that they'd always get like 80% of referee indecisions and all that crap.
Yeah.
You could imagine that being the same at most grounds that referees go to. The home ground, ones where he wants to keep quiet if possible. So it'll take a lot for him to give what he would easily give for the home side. And today I thought he managed it perfectly fair and reasonable. So, you know what, you've got to give credit where it's due, as much as we slate referees all season long. That fella deserves credit for that, and I hope he gets another decent game. Because he looked like a brand new ref.
Yeah. That's all you can ask, isn't it? You know, you come away from the referee and you can't remember what he's called. Perfect. Because you haven't been screaming his name for 90 minutes.
You don't know his name when you finish. You know he's done a good job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all they're there to do. Just be anonymous and let the game go. I think overall tonight, you know, a good point. Take these last two games in isolation and it's two decent points back for us. Particularly in the circumstances, as I said before, of, you know, Lampard having to mix things up and maybe not having the team he really wants to play, especially with the striker situation. We'll leave it there for tonight then. So we'll have some...
Yeah, the one thing I did want to mention, when I was saying this at the start, that I thought it was a bit embarrassing from the Everton admin team that he didn't realise he needs to get Mopay signed on Friday because of bank holiday yesterday. Just as bad as it was for the Premier League, you know, to allow it, like Lampard said in his interview. Yeah. Really silly, but, you know, I think that he'll have an extra chip on his shoulder, Mopay, only when his debut is going to be against Liverpool in a Merseyside derby. So, fair play. Let's hope that he comes along with the reputation that he's got of being someone that will absolutely get involved as often as he can. Don't be stupid, Neil, and take a red card on your first game just to prove anything. But I don't know. Do you start him or don't you? Because, I mean, I'd throw him straight in for Gray if it was me.
Yeah, Gray on McNeil. Just on him, just quickly, with the club admin, they've had a shocker three times with him now. So they didn't sign him in time. And then the social team spelled his name N-E-I-L on the video and actually put the wrong Twitter handle up from someone who's account suspended. So, had a great start in that respect for him. Like, but yeah, I'd throw him straight in on Saturday. You know, he's not particularly big. He's not a target man, but he'll have more awareness of how to play up front, how to hold the ball, how to rattle centre halves than Gordon McNeil or Gray. I'd drop one of McNeil or Gray for him, I think.
Yeah. But like owner, like social at the moment, isn't it? With that sort of crap headers.
Anything right.
Oh, to be fair, though, mate, if we'd have done that in our job, we'd be getting sticks all over the place, wouldn't we?
Exactly.
People saying we shouldn't have hard jobs if you're making stupid mistakes like that, rookie mistakes. But let's listen. I hope they're still making those mistakes in the next 2 days, Les, because it'll mean we've actually signed some other players. Yeah. Do we still need it? But yeah, tonight, much more positive. Should have got 3 points, but the main focus I'm going along with is that Everton turned up tonight at a tough away game. Unbeaten in two aways is something that I don't think many of us could have thought was going to happen. So let's take it like that with a pinch of salt and crack on, and hopefully we get our first 3 points, because the next two are not getting any easier, are they? Liverpool at home, and then the league leaders Arsenal the week after. If we take 3 points, well, if we just take 3 points in the next two games, I'd absolutely bite your head off right now.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting anything out of these two games is going to be tough. But yeah,
if we come out unbeaten in these next two games, then give Frank a new contract, as far as I'm concerned.
Give him an apology treatment, give him 8 years.
I'll be
well happy with anything from these next two. But yeah, I think it's slow and steady progress. See what happens over the next 2 days and see where we are at the weekend.
Yeah, I'll just remind everyone as well that there's going to be bags of stuff on that. I think Matt and Rob obviously love doing the transfer stuff on all of our content. Obviously, they're going to be heavily involved. I think they've done one today as well. It's already out on the transfer window. Obviously, on Thursday night, there'll be some sort of event, hopefully, because we'll have signed some players. There'll definitely be reaction from most of us across the Blue Room on Thursday. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that.
Yeah, and we are doing mailbag in person on Saturday morning before the derby. Don't know, I might do that live on YouTube if I can. But the logistics of that are always a bit of a nightmare, but we'll see. But yeah, there will be beer involved on Saturday morning anyway. Cheers, Dave. Nice one for that. Thanks to everyone for listening. As Dave said, decent results away from home. Team showed a lot of character. See where we get to in this transfer window. We'll catch you soon on the Blue Room. Up the toppies.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.